At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's hour two of the Chris and Amy Show with Brad Young today in for Amy. I'm Chris Ranji. Glad you're with us today. We go to the guest line and the partner and managing director of One Private Wealth, Dave Simons, joins the show. We are in the midst of the tariff war right now. And it seems like the number fluctuates all the time, Dave. 10% tariffs might be under 10% tariffs. We don't really know what's going on. So where is the level of uncertainty this week as it pertains to the economy moving forward?
I mean, oh my goodness, Chris. It's 50%. Well, China could be 150%. Oh no, there's a pause. Oh no, it's zero now. So, as I always talk to investors about this, You've got to look through the headline noise. And you just heard the report that consumer confidence really shot up in the last month. And you think, why? What's changed? I think investors and consumers have finally realized what's happening here to say, I can't manage my life around the latest text or the latest threat or the latest pullback. And it's probably not going to end up being as draconian as maybe Liberation Day numbers showed, that there is some negotiation here. But I think at the very least, Chris, in answer to your question, I think you're going to see probably when it's all said and done, 10% tariffs on almost all of our trading partners, and then with a few selected countries like China perhaps being a little higher.
Hey, Dave, Brad Young here. And if you strip away the politics, if that's possible, and just look at the economic fundamentals, job numbers, unemployment numbers, GDP, those types of things, how does the economy look when you strip away the noise?
Brad, it actually looks very good. And I think you're seeing that again. Let me reference the consumer confidence numbers that came out today. That was very, very telling. And there's still a lot of money sloshing around. Now, depending on where you are on the economic ladder, you are going to hear me talk about how the economy is actually pretty good and say, what the heck are you talking about? There really is a growing divide that has been in place for a number of years, and it does seem to get wider and wider. So people above a certain level are just fine and doing well and saying, hey, it's pretty good. And others are saying, man, I'm kind of struggling. But when you look at the usual data that economists like to focus on, unemployment, inflation, yeah, still a little higher than what the Fed would like, but still at a reasonable level. And bond yields, which had been rising, have been starting to come back down again. So stripping out the politics, indeed, Brad, you hit it. That's hard to do, I think, for a lot of people. But when you do that, we're in pretty good shape. Not great, not where we were maybe a couple of years ago, but pretty good.
So where is the it does seem like there is disconnect. Is it strictly political because the economy was good under the last president, but people thought it wasn't? And now there's a lot of uncertainty here. We don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but now people think the economy is great. So why does it work out like that? You can tell. Yeah. I mean, there are numbers, there are metrics. You can see if the economy is good or not.
Yes, and there are metrics that show how the people's responses tend to be dictated by their own personal politics. And you just hit on something very important, Chris, because I've seen this in my career a little bit, but really over the last decade or so, it just continues to get worse. And just more recently, as we were heading into the 2016 election, I had some folks on one side of the political fence say, man, if Trump wins, I'm out of the market. Well, I don't know if you did or not, but the market actually did very, very well. And then when we got to the election for 2020, I heard from the other side, man, if Biden wins, I'm out. And so I would say, well, if you really believe that, you should probably get out before the election, because after it's too late, the market's moved against you. But that gets to the point that you can't. I went back in history and I looked back 100 years and saw that the market has never crashed. It's never had a major correction in the days and weeks after an election. We look at bigger things. Now, that's not to say that a particular president won't have legislative ideas that could be good or bad for the economy, but they take a while to play out. You see that coming. You can take your time. But strictly using politics and elections and for or against the person in the White House almost never works.
And Dave, does that just drive home this idea that folks should have a plan for investing, a plan for retirement, a plan for savings, and that plan, you stick to the plan regardless of who's living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Bingo, Brad. You're speaking my language here, and that's what we always get back to. It's the plan, it's the plan, it's the plan. And I have an acronym that I use called the PAIR principle, P-A-I-R, and the P is the plan. And just real quickly, A is assess, but assess your own life, where you are. I is then invest in that plan, and R is just a review. But it all begins with a plan. Yes, you should massage the edges. If a particular person is in the White House or congressionally they're passing something that you think might harm the economy, then yeah, you can move some things here and there. But ultimately, you have to look at what you can control, how much money you're spending, how much money you can save and invest, reasonable rates of return. That's the plan. And almost, it just never happens where the person in the White House will have a major impact as long as your plan is solid.
We have seen, and we're talking about these tariffs and what the end result is going to be. We've seen companies within the last couple of weeks flat out say the prices are going to go up because of the tariffs. Do we have an idea of just how much everyday prices are going to be affected for people?
Yeah, it really, I guess on that, Chris, depends on the products involved. When you're looking at products that come from overseas, especially a lot of parts like with automobiles, yeah, you might see some price increases there. Is it really possible, for example, that Apple could move all their headquarters here and their production plants to avoid any tariffs? Because I just saw an analysis to say if they indeed did that, which would take a few years, by the way, the average price of an iPhone goes from about $1,000 to $3,500. Well, that's just not going to happen. So I don't know if it's a fear or a worry, but just something that we're watching. These tariffs, if they are 10% plus across the board, how much will be eaten by the companies themselves? Well, then if you're a shareholder, you have to watch that because that might hit their profit margin. And then how much is passed on to the consumer? Again, you have to watch that because of inflation. I've been in this business now, I'm in my fourth decade, and I've never felt like I had to kind of babysit the data on a daily basis like I am now.
Dave, I want to talk about the dollar for just a moment, because, and I know this is getting a little wonkish, and so I want to make sure that we address this in a way that most folks will grasp. But when you talk about the value of the dollar, how the dollar stacks up against other worldwide currencies, and we've seen a lot of news recently about how some countries are maybe toying with the idea of moving away from the dollar, and the value of the dollar goes up or down. But the bottom line is, how does the fluctuation of the dollar, how does that affect what consumers are paying when they go to the store?
So we'll keep this 30,000 foot view. So the dollar, to me, the most important aspect of a nation's currency is a nation's currency, because it describes who you are and where you are in the global standing. It is your personality, if you will. It is your resume. It's like if you finish a long race and you get to wear the medal, you're like, wow, you did something good. You stand for something. That is your currency. And since World War II, if not even a little bit before that, we've had the go-to currency. It is the reserve currency of the world. I can't begin to describe how important that is, because it does keep costs of goods and services on the lower side. It does help with trade. It does help keep oil prices low because there's some stability there when things are priced in one particular currency where the rest of the country depends on and believes in and is solid and safe. And that is why perhaps more than anything else, guys, in early April, when the stock market was sinking and the bond market was going up, the most important thing that institutional and global investors were looking at was our currency. Because now people started to think, wait a minute, is the U.S. dollar as safe as we once thought? I think they were overstating it, but I understand principally why they would question that. Getting down to the brass tacks, though, what does this do for prices? It depends whether it's domestically or internationally. If you are traveling, you love a strong dollar. If you are traveling and the dollar is weakening, all of a sudden it's becoming more expensive. Well, it's become more expensive the last couple of months as the dollar has come down. I think you're going to see it stabilize here, though, for a little bit.
So I don't think we had a chance to talk about this last week, Dave, in the aftermath of the tornado. We were talking about recovery and that sort of thing in our spot with you. But on Friday, actually the day of the tornado, Moody's downgraded the U.S. Yes. in its credit rating. How big of a deal is that? And what does it mean for people?
Well, it ties directly into, again, we were talking about the dollar, so that has an impact. But this is really interesting because there are three major rating agencies, and two of them had already downgraded us in years past from AAA. So it was, I think, only a matter of time, perhaps, that Moody's did it. They really finally did it when this big, beautiful bill was working its way through Congress saying, you know what, if this thing passes like it is, that's only going to add more to the deficit. Estimates are another $3 trillion over the next 10 years minimum. And so here we are sitting one notch below AAA. Now, let's look at the reality of it. Are we seeing anything as consumers or Americans or investors because of that today? No. At this point, it's more of an image thing. And I get back to that personality of who you are with your currency. That's all it is. I'm sorry, but you've got other countries like Germany, and there are at least a half dozen other countries that have a AAA rating on their debt, on their currency, on their economy. That is not moving investor money to those other countries. So I wish we were AAA. We are no longer that, but it hasn't changed a thing with global investors still moving their money here to the U.S. We are still seen as the safe haven.
Well, how long does it take to get back up to AAA? You know, I mean, is it the sort of thing that takes a lot of time?
Yeah, it's all about the budgeting on that, Brad. It's all about cutting our deficit, which continue. Look, there are no deficit hawks left in Congress. It's amazing to me, outside of a Rand Paul and some mm-hmm. others. So it used to be, okay, Democrats love to spend a lot of money and raise the deficit, and Republicans are the deficit hawks. That there may have been some truth to that, but it's not true anymore.
Out when there's a Democrat in office.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're right.
Both parties have just, it doesn't seem like any desire to cut into that deficit. But let me say this very quickly. The next time anyone wants to point to Washington, D.C. and say, I can't believe these guys are continuing to add to the deficit, may I suggest to you very politely, you look in the mirror, because the reason why they're not doing it is because we all talk a big game, but if they say, okay, we're going to cut the programs that benefit you, and we may have to touch Medicare and Social Security, and you're like, oh, that's crazy. I'm voting that guy out of office. That's why they're doing it.
Dave Simons, we appreciate you every week coming on and making us feel a little bit better about the situation.
My pleasure. As always, Chris, Brad, good to talk to you both.
That's Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, who joins us every Tuesday at 10 o'clock on 104.1 FM KMOX.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going to be visiting with Greg Marcus, the CEO of Marcus Corporation, next. Sounds like theaters are rebounding. I guess they have post-COVID.
Yes.
Started to get back to pre-COVID levels. That's good.
Right. But it's very much a roller coaster. I mean, I see a lot of movies, and sometimes they're full. Sometimes it's basically like your basement. It's just you and your spouse or whatever. So it does fluctuate.
Well, so yesterday I decided to go see Mission Impossible.
Oh,
all right.
I so want to see that movie.
I will tell you now. Yeah. I have not finished it. I went to the theater. And I went to the theater in my neighborhood, the Chase Cinema, which I like. I love the cinema.
I love that theater.
However, on this particular day, when I had bought my ticket, at the time I bought it, nobody else, there were like maybe three other tickets sold because, you know, you can pick your seat, whatever.
Sure.
By the time I got there, slammed, just absolutely packed. So fine, no big deal. But there's not much of an incline at that theater. And I do like the Chase Cinema. I really do. It just, there isn't much of an incline. So the chair in front of you is at the same height you're at. And there was a man sitting in front of me who was, man, he had to have been 7'12".
Goliath was sitting in front of
me. He was huge. Absolutely huge. So I'm leaning to my right. For most of the movie, every now and then he would move his dumb big head and then I could see a little bit. Then he would move it back to where it was that I couldn't see. And I'm in this guy's lap next to me, which, by the way, I went by myself. I like going to theaters by myself. It's nice. So I'm like, I'm in this guy's lap. It was starting to get hot in there. I didn't like it. I couldn't see. And I tapped out after about an hour and a half. I'm like, I
good
can't do
you.
This anymore. I got to go.
Good
I gotta
for
go.
You, because that was ruining the movie experience.
It was.
And you want to enjoy certainly the climax of the movie.
Yes.
You don't want that being filtered through Goliath's ears. You know, you want to actually see it. Good call. It would have been hard for me to do, but good call.
I mean, come on, man. And then he had a dumb big hat on, too.
No.
So he had a. It was
so
a,
if you're 7'14" and you're wearing a hat.
Well, so it was a baseball cap. But he had it sort of like
tipped up,
cocked upward.
Yeah.
So then that part was covering the screen too. And he kept moving around. Ah, this guy sucks. I hope he's listening. I hope he knows that he ruined my day. He ruined my moving going experience.
I know, but the temptation would have been, from your perspective, the temptation would have been, I've already paid for the ticket. Of course, not with you, but I would have already paid for, you know, several buckets of popcorn. And I've already invested in being in this experience, even though it's being ruined. And I probably would have been the cheapskate that I am. I probably would have said,
stayed through the whole thing.
But that would have ruined the movie for the rest of your life. You'd go, oh, yeah, the last Mission Impossible movie. All I did was see the back of Goliath's head. So good call on your part.
Thank you. It was like watching Mystery Science Theater 3000. But all the robots are completely in the way.
But on Mystery Science Theater 3000, to be fair, you don't really have to see what's going on the
screen.
No,
you don't.
You know, you can watch the shadows and then mock the whatever's going on. But in a Mission Impossible movie, it requires your full attention to see all the twists and turns.
This message from TW, who's watching on YouTube, watching the show right now, says, poor guy probably hates being tall. No, he doesn't.
No, he likes it.
Being tall is, it's great. I mean, there's a perfect ground that you want to be on. Like, I don't think you want to be, and he wasn't really 7 foot tall, but I'm exaggerating for effect. Yeah. I don't think you want to be a 7 footer.
No.
Unless you have basketball aspirations.
Sure.
You kind of want to be about 6'2", 6'3", though. 6'5" is good.
That's good.
I think somewhere you're tall enough where people notice you, but you're not like an ogre, right? You don't have that look about you like, what's wrong with that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to be tall.
I would love to be 6'5".
Just for what? But you're a sports guy, so.
Yeah.
But so you can play a lot of basketball.
Well, it doesn't matter now. Oh, I was never good at that.
Okay. Well, you know what's funny is when I go to see baseball games, my law firm's season tickets are right by the first baseline.
Yeah.
And when Jordan Walker is on first base and Stubby Clapp is giving him
It's adorable,
tips,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's my goodness. It's Jordan Walker, who's huge, Stubby Clapp that comes in about 5'3". Visually, it's hilarious. I laugh every time.
Holly is watching on YouTube, and she says, being 5 foot, everyone blocks my view everywhere. I'm sorry, Holly. There's That's nothing true. You can do about that,
nothing.
Though.
Nothing. Nothing. Unless you sit on the front row, which is not very good.
And imagine if she had gone to see Mission Impossible yesterday, sitting behind this fella.
Oh, my.
This giant that I had to
anything.
Sit behind.
Nothing.
I'm 6'2", and I couldn't see over this guy.
Well, go see it again. I'll go with you.
You know what? I'm just going to have to wait till it comes out.
Nah, pay the money.
I can't buy a separate ticket.
Yeah, you can. You got to experience it on the big screen, my friend. And probably you want to experience it at a Marcus Theater.
Well, maybe we will. We'll talk to Greg Marcus, the CEO of Marcus Corporation, about my experience. But no, I love the Chase Cinema. They're awesome there. Greg Marcus, CEO yes. of Marcus Corporation, next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Brad Young is in for Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Glad you're with us today. It is the Chris and Amy Show. Time to go to the guest line because there are some blockbusters out right now. There's a Superman movie coming, despite the lawsuit.
Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch. Friendship, which I really want to see with Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd. Greg Marcus is the CEO of the Marcus Corporation and who is now visiting with us on KMOX. Greg, how are you doing?
Well, after this weekend, I think I'm just doing okay. I'm fine.
So, how good was it?
It was pretty much a record setter for Memorial Day.
Good.
The best one we've ever had. Really good.
Really?
Good to see. Good to feel.
Oh, so best Memorial Day you've ever had.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, Greg, I got a lot of questions for you, but before I get into that, I've got a 22-year-old daughter who follows you on TikTok. And she loves you on TikTok. And she said all of her friends follow you, that your TikTok presence is great. So from a marketing perspective, how important is that? Do you see is because you've got a huge presence on social media. I mean, even if the Utes of America are following you, how important is that to you, both personally and professionally?
Oh, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, that is my target demo, apparently. it is, you know, I pretty much do what we have these social media people, and they put the iPhone, they aim it at me, and they tell me to do this crazy stuff. And half the time, I don't even know what I'm saying. And they just tell me to do it.
So, I mean, are they telling you what to say? Are they writing for you?
I mean, a lot of it is, you know, it's interesting. I've learned a fair amount about it as we've been doing it. There's this stuff that's, you know, it's these trends that start up. And so they're following the trends and they're doing things. So there could be, you know, I could be lip syncing, whatever is people are lip syncing. Speaking of Tim Robinson, there was a hysterical one that we did. And my son, who's a little older than 22, but not too much. He loves Tim Robinson and they did a piece that was something about a burger thing, and I'm doing that looks really good. And I was, and I did it, and I didn't know the importance of it. And I sent it to my son after they put it out. And he's like, "That's my favorite Tim Robinson piece ever.
Yes,
I love that." I mean, so you know, the kids are the ones who have really gotten back to the movies the most, and they're the future of the business. You know, that just because they've got a longer runway, and so. Engaging them is really important, and it's fun, and it's, you know, in a world where it's harder to reach people nowadays, you know, being able to reach them through social media and getting them to think about going to the movies that's what it's about.
And by the way, the anime version that you do for one of the trailer things where it's animated, I hope you're as jacked as you appear in the animated short that you do. Because that guy's got some
actually,
six-pack
they had
abs.
To actually tone me down just a little bit because we didn't want to be too jealous.
I understand. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah, I'm jealous thinking about it now. That's a we're talking with Greg Marcus, CEO of the Marcus Corporation. You're talking about younger people coming out. We know post-COVID that it was difficult for theaters, and there was this question of, you know, what the future was of the movie theater, and do people really want to go out to a theater? Would they rather watch at home? How much have things changed in that regard since 2020?
Since the people were questioning it a lot, because a lot of the questions have gone away. Not for me, you know. I always talked about, it was funny, during COVID, when things were completely upside down, you know, we'd have these seminars, and they'd invite me to be a part of the online seminar because nobody could get together. And it was sort of, how are you getting through COVID? And I think they would bring me on, you know, as the, you know, there's that the German word Schadenfreude, pleasure in the misery of others. I was the poster child for Schadenfreude. Well, if you think your life is bad, you should talk to Greg Marcus, because things are really no fun at the movie business. But, you know, what I said then and is proving to be true is that, you know, movies, going to the movies, first of all, is completely differentiated. For, you know, it's leaving your house. It's seeing something. I don't care how big the screen is in your house. It's not nearly as big as our smallest screen. It's 100 times, 100, you know, 1/100th the size of our smallest screen. And, you know, it's a little, I've overstated that a hair, but not much. It's much smaller. And the sound is better. Everything is better. But really what it's about is humans want to be together.
Yes.
There's something about being with other humans that changes the experience. And when you are, whether it's seeing them or whatever of your senses pick up other people, it changes your own chemistry. And it changes how you perceive things. And so being with other people is really important. And whether it's going to the movies or going to a concert or going to a ball game or going to meetings with people, it's just different in person. And so that always gave me the comfort that, well, once we got the product started again, people would want to come back, and they have.
What if being with other people entails you sitting behind somebody who is outrageously tall and you can't see Mission Impossible and you have to leave early?
Well,
this may or may not have happened to me yesterday. This may or may not have happened to me yesterday. I have not. I have been to Mission Impossible. I have not finished it.
Well, it's you know what? I actually saw it this weekend too. I was in a full theater. It takes commitment to finish it. It's a long one, but you know what? I love the Mission Impossible movies, so like it couldn't have been too long for me.
Oh, they're great. But we're talking to Greg Marcus. He's the CEO of Marcus Corporation. And Greg, I remember when VHSs came out, and there was all this fear that VHS is going to kill the movie industry, and it didn't. DVDs came out. Same concern. Didn't happen. Streaming comes out. Everyone says, oh, no one's going to go to the movies anymore, the theater rather, to see movies. That didn't happen. So you talk about this idea of communally enjoying a movie. Is that really the strength of the theater experience that stops all of these other disruptor technologies from keeping people out of the theater?
Well, I think that's a piece of it. You know, it's it's actually good for the streaming or for any of these other technologies that you mention. You know, one of the things, like streaming, think about the punishment of going on your streaming service and trying to find something to watch. I mean, how many times have we looked at 1,000 tiles trying to figure it out? You know, we have very limited shelf space. And so when something plays theatrically, it distinguishes the product. So later on, when it's now playing in streaming, it has some familiarity. And you're like, oh, I heard of that. Even if you didn't see it in the theater, which you should, but if you didn't, you know, you say, oh, I know what that is. And so it helps those movies later on. We know, the numbers show, movies that play in theaters play better in streaming. And so, you know, it's good for the customer to have the experience. It's good for the people who make the movies to have them play in multiple venues and then ultimately play on their streaming services. And, you know, the other thing, too, that it's again, great for the customer and great for them, you want people invested in your product. When you're laying on your sofa and you've got your remote in your hand and you're just flipping through stuff, you know, you're not invested. You can, you know, go to the bathroom and leave and stop. But when you go to a theater, you've made a point of going. and you're going to be on someone else's schedule, and you're investing your time and you're investing your resources, and so you're going to like it more generally. And so that's helpful as well. And I'll give you the last point, which is about the memories that we make and that you just don't get at home. And I always say this, and we'll think about it in terms of Lilo and Stitch this weekend, where a lot of kids probably for the first time went to a movie with their parents. And I will take this bet that in 20 years there will be absolutely zero, no more than zero, people who say, I remember when my parents took me to my first movie. They took me to the sofa, and we turned on Lilo and Stitch, and we watched it together. I promise you, no one will ever say that.
You're right.
But what they will say is, you know what? I remember when my mom and dad took me to my first movie. We went to see Lilo and Stitch. My mom held my hand. My dad bought me popcorn. I thought they were real. I had the best time, and I still remember it to this day. And that will happen. And that's the memories we make in the theater business, and that's why the movie theaters are important.
We know things change over time. Even the constants change, whether they're, you know, there's some sort of adaption or whatever that occurs. What do you think what is the future of movie theaters moving forward?
Oh, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that there'll be, I think there's going to be a few things. I think we'll see a broadening of the content that continues to play, as we've already started seeing. Will that ever be the main thing? No. But whether, there's sporting events and comedians and opera and UFC fights and things like that, we'll have more of that. We'll always be working on the presentation. So, like, one of the things we're doing now is we're trying a new thing called ScreenX, which is you get three screens, one on the front of you and two on the side, and the presentation is really interesting, and it's a fun way to watch a movie in a bit of a surround view, so in a 270 degree view. And it's just we will always be working on the presentation, whether it's the seats or whatever it could be, or the food keeps getting better. We'll always be trying to innovate to compete with the couch, to give you that reason to get off your couch and come to the theaters and enjoy something different. At the end of the day, what really matters is the story's got to be a good story. We've got to take care of you with a smile, give you some great popcorn, and that's when that happens, that's movie magic.
Yeah, we're talking to Greg Marcus, CEO of Marcus Corporation. And Greg, I want to follow up on that. Whenever Marcus came to the St. Louis area, I took my AMC card and I mailed it back to AMC. And I said, I'm never going to need this again because I'm only going to go to Marcus Theaters. I did that. And I guess that's the point. And that's the point of my question here is that you're into creating an experience, not just watching a movie. Isn't that right?
Oh, that's exactly right. Look, our business is memories. That's what we talk about. That's what we sell, and we're in the hotel business too. So whether we're selling a room night or we're selling a seat in a theater, what we're really selling is a memory. You really don't leave with anything. In the hotel, some people steal the towels, but that's about it. In the movie theaters, all you get is a stomach full of popcorn, hopefully. But a great memory. It's that memory of going with your family. It's that memory of date night with your partner, your spouse. It's that memory of hanging out with your buddies and laughing. That's what we sell. And so we always have to work to make sure that we provide great memories.
Brad and I were just talking about Superman. The trailer came out a few days ago. It will happen on July 11th. I don't know how you do projections or if you try to when a movie is coming out, and that's probably going to be a blockbuster. What do you project for that one when it does happen?
Oh, I mean, we're very optimistic. So, I mean, it's a great reboot. I saw that trailer too, and it's funny. I saw that. I was like, ooh, I want to see that. We're doing this thing now where we're emailing everybody a trailer a day, in our loyalty program. So you get just all it is a trailer. I mean, not much more than that in the email. And so every day I get a new trailer, and every day I'm like, ooh, there's my little 2-minute vacation. Let's see what's going on. And I watched the Superman one the other day. And I was like, ooh. That looks good, where she's interviewing him and he's getting all upset. I was jacked to see it. And it's got, it's kind of like the directors, the guys who made it now are the guys who did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which I loved. And so having them now move over to the DC world, and let's see what they do with it, and we'll see how it does. The one thing about our business, you know, I always says, what are you looking forward to? And I always say, well, I'm looking forward to the surprise, because the stuff we always find ourselves with something that surprises us. Sometimes not so good, but a lot of times really good. Like Sinners. Where did Sinners come from? I mean, in a way, we should know. It's Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler, but nobody was expecting it to do what it did, and then it was great, and it was a great movie.
Well, and I guess that's the final question I have for you here. Greg Marcus, CEO of Marcus Corporation, you're a guy that sees a lot of movies. So over the last year or so, what was a movie that surprised you?
A movie that surprised me? Well, I would say that for sure Sinners was probably the biggest surprise I remember in a while. Like, wow, that one really got me. Because, frankly, that's really not my type of movie. I was like, okay, I'm not a big, you know, it's a vampire movie. It's not usually what I'm going to go see. But you know what? It was so good. It was so good. I love going to the movies. I have a weekly date night with my wife. We've been going for years, and so you know, I just like to go and eat the popcorn and the pizza. Our pizza's great.
It is great. And I can see, though, let me tell you, Greg, I can see that you could do a Sinners-based intro to the movies where you've got cheesy vampire teeth and a cape. You know, that would look great on you.
I will tell the guys. We're going to shoot some more of those tomorrow, actually, so we can work that one in.
I think you should do it. Greg Marcus, CEO of the Marcus Corporation, we really appreciate you taking the time today. Congrats on a great weekend, and hopefully many more to come.
Hey, Chris and Brad, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Greg Marcus with us on KMOX. I need to get back to the theater, but I can't buy a ticket to go see that again.
You're going to have to.
Same movie?
But see, that's how my wife knew that she was going to marry me. When we went to see our first movie, and I ordered the absolute largest bucket of popcorn you could possibly get, and she said, I'm going to marry this guy. Because she would go on dates, and her dates would get those little bitty bags of popcorn and then eat three pieces, and it made her feel like, oh, I can't eat any popcorn. But when this dude goes with me and gets the biggest bathtub size of popcorn, she felt free. That's how she knew she was going to marry me.
Well, there you go. I would have been the guy with the small bag.
Yeah, and she would have dumped
three bites
in a hot minute.
Yeah, because I don't like it the way I think I like it when I smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Young, Chris Ranji. Got more coming up on this show. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for this movie. I cannot wait for Superman.
So pumped.
I hope that lawsuit goes nowhere.
Oh, it's all about money.
It's the Chris and Amy Show. Brad Young is in today. Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM, KMOX. All right. Since we have an attorney here, Brad Young, who is our legal expert, and this didn't even occur to me, Brad, that the keys that we use, you know, like to open your house your car, that sort of thing, that there might be lead in them. And in the state of Minnesota, they are looking to potentially make keys illegal there because the majority of the keys on the market contain more lead than is allowed by the state's strict new heavy metal standards. First of all, did you know this about keys?
I did. And the reason why I did know it is because I was at Lowe's or Home Depot once, and I got an all-aluminum key. And it had no heavy metals in it. It was just regular aluminum. And as soon as I used it, it bent when I put it in the lock. And I thought, this is trash. And that's the whole point, is that lead in keys make sure that they don't bend or break, because if you've ever broken a key in a lock, you're toast. You got to call a locksmith. There's nothing you could do. And so the fallout of this law in Minnesota is that keys, at least sold there, aren't going to have any lead, and you're going to have, listen, this is like the Locksmiths of Full Employment Act, because they're going to be busy guys up in Minnesota with no lead in the keys, because they're going to be bending and breaking all the time.
So this is what a locksmith says in a story by Reason. Aluminum is too brittle. It breaks instead of bends, and it's not as easily machined as brass is. The same problem with steel. It rusts, and it's much harder to machine.
Right.
So Lead is the perfect material for keys then? And I honestly had no idea. Well, I had no idea that that was an issue.
Right. But this really falls under the idea of the law of unintended consequences, because I'm sure during the debates in the Minnesota legislature, they were saying, well, lead poisons children. It gets into the groundwater. We're exposed to toxicity with lead. We should just get rid of lead, without understanding the ramifications of doing that. And this is one, I promise you, no one in the Minnesota legislature ever even occurred to them that by doing so, they're basically making locks non-workable.
So is this the sort of thing that'll end its way here?
No. You know what'll happen is if this law gets passed, I'm sure it would have a waiver for keys. Because unless you do that, you're going to have to go to everything being a digital lock. I don't know if you've got one of those combo locks. I've got one of those combo, like on the outside of your garage.
Yeah, right. A lot of Airbnbs do that now.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So you'd have to have that for everything, a combo lock, because you couldn't use a key.
Well, okay. Just don't put your keys in your mouth in the meantime.
Right. Don't eat them. Don't put them in your breakfast
drink.
But
kids do. Kids will put anything in their mouths.
That's right.
So do not give your child your keys. So that they don't put the keys in their mouth.
Or also in light sockets. My kids would stick stuff in the light sockets.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's very common. After they get shocked once, they never do it again.
When we come back, we're going to talk to the mayor of Lake St. Louis, who is running for St. Charles County Executive. Jason Law will join the show. He is next on Chris and Amy. Brad Young is in today on 104.1 FM KMOX.